talks, you know, lest I forget Gethsemane and the thorn-crowned brow. And I know it's a hard thing to imagine that we could ever forget the cross, what the Lord has done for us. But I think a lot of times we do. Or at least we don't think about it as much as we should. I know, as I kind of hinted on this morning, our minds are very weak, feeble, and frail. I know as we get older, our minds get weaker. I already have a pretty bad memory now. I'm not looking forward to getting older, but we forget things. You ask my wife, I forget things quite often. We tend to remember things. I'm the type of guy that come home after work, get up the next morning, can't find the car keys, they're in the front door. I lock the door, but the keys are still there. But we forget things. Our minds too often wander. We try to fill them with so many things, and we fail to remember. We have many tools at our disposal to try to remember. We use calendars and day planners. Nowadays, we have smartphones and, you know, smart devices. Our Alexa devices try to remind us pretty much everything, but half the time, I forget those or forget to tell it to remind me. Even with all the tools, we still forget. And sadly, as we mentioned, it's not just the secular things we forget. I think oftentimes we forget spiritual things. Things that we thought we would never forget. Things that we should never forget, but we do. We have a real simple thought this evening. I couldn't get away from it this past week. And so if you don't tell your pastor on me, we may get out of here a few minutes early. But it's just a real quick thought. And the thought is never forget. There are some things in our lives that we should never forget. If you look over in 2 Peter chapter 1, we see the second epistle that Peter has written. We're just going to read a couple of verses in it. And in these verses, he tries to remind God's people of things to remember, things that we shouldn't forget. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse number 12. Peter writes on the inspiration of God, he says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." We see Peter here, and we'll get to the things he's telling them to remember in a moment. But he's saying that he needs them or wants them, encourages them to remember some things. And we'll get to it later, but he says, even though his time on this earth is coming to an end, his time of passing is coming, he's encouraging God's people to remember things. So this evening, we want to look at three things that we should never forget. The first of all, we should never forget where God has brought us from. You know, scroll back to verse number 3, and we'll kind of make our way through this chapter here. But verse 3 says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." That last part of that verse says that he hath called us to glory and virtue. In order to be called unto something, we must have been called out of something. And it's important for us to remember where that's from. Verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Peter's reminding them that we have been called unto something, therefore being called out of something. And he says we have been saved from the lust and corruption that is in this world through lust, or the corruption in this world through lust. It's important for us to remember what we're saved from. We're saved from the corruption of this world that we heard about this morning. Those reprobate minds that are all around us, the heartaches, the trials. And I think that salvation is that much sweeter when we remember what we've been saved from. Growing up, I was always a little bit jealous. We hear people talk about when they were saved. And that should be a joyous memory, a joyous thing to share for all those that are saved. We should want to share that with anybody who would listen. But I was always a little bit jealous. I was, well, for lack of a better term, and I'll explain it later, my salvation story was rather boring as a kid. I grew up in church. My parents forced me to go to services 3 times a week, 3 days a week, whatever it may be. We were in the youth program, Sunday school, rode the buses, did all that we could. We were forced to go. I grew up in church. My parents being, I appreciate it now, godly parents. They sheltered us, kept us from a lot of wicked things of this world. I wasn't able to do everything my friends in school did. I was kept out of trouble for fear if I got in trouble, my dad would have punished me a lot worse, but he kept me from a lot of that heartache and struggles. I was saved at a very young age. I was saved in church. I never really experienced a whole lot of trouble. And I say it was a boring salvation story because I think we can all think of those, and maybe some of you have these kind of stories, that they have those awesome salvation stories. And by that I mean you listen to people and I've known some people that were saved. They were members of biker gangs. They were all sorts of wicked. They did a whole bunch of horrible things. And then they recount how they were saved. It was some miraculous thing. The Lord had saved them from that life, saved them from a lifetime of prison, or saved them from a life that would have ended far too soon. Saved them from jail, saved them from... I had one guy said he was on a road to having to commit murder at one point before the Lord saved him. To me, that was just an awesome story. You know, you think about what the Lord had saved them from and the story they can tell and how captivating that is. And then here was my story, just boring. But we think about what God has called us from, and there is no such thing as a boring salvation story. It doesn't matter if you were saved from a life of crime or a horrible, wicked life, or if you were saved at a young age, raised in church, you were saved from the very same thing. And that's what Peter's reminding them from. You were saved from the corruption of this world. You were saved from the wicked. You know, looking back, I'm thankful my parents kept me from those. Because although those men that I've talked to or heard about over the years that have those miraculous salvation stories, and again, all salvation is miraculous, but those awesome stories where I thought, even though they were saved from it, they have many scars from their past, from their lives. But it's so much sweeter to remember. You know, that very well could have been me if it wasn't for God intervening in my life. It could have very well been me that was on a road to heinous crimes or a lifetime in prison if it wasn't for the Lord. But there's really no such thing as a boring salvation story. We were all saved from the penalty of sin, which we all know. We were saved from the hopelessness of this world. You look around and the world today, they have no hope. They're hoping in all the wrong things. They're trusting in people that can't help them, as we saw this morning. But here we are. We're told that we're saved from all that. Psalms 40 and verse 1, David writes, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. We see David crying out, saying the Lord had pulled him out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set his feet upon a rock. That's where we came from. The horrible pits, the miry clay, and the Lord plants our feet upon him. The rock, our feet upon him. And I think about, and I know, you know, you kind of glorified a little bit in my mind as a kid, those awesome salvation stories. And we remember where we're saved from, not because we're happy about it, or where we used to be, not because out of pride, or not because of a longing to return, or to be back in those old ways. We remember them so we remember how much of a blessing it is that God saved us. When we take the Lord's Supper, I'm sure you guys are the same way, when you read the accounts, when Christ instituted it, he made mention, as oft as you do it, do in remembrance of me. We take the Lord's Supper and you drink of the wine and eat of the unleavened bread. You picture the blood of Christ in his body. We don't do it because we're happy, in the sense that we were happy our Savior was beaten and crucified. But remembering those gruesome moments, that time where His body was beaten and His blood was shed, it makes salvation that much sweeter. What the Lord did for us. And we think, you know, how is it possible, again, how is it possible to forget this? We sing that song, you know, lest we forget Gethsemane. How is it possible that we come to a place in our minds where we forget what the Lord has saved us from? Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Keep your fingers here. We'll be right back. But we know the history of Israel, at least the history we have in Scriptures. And they're full of times where they thrive. They do well. And then how quickly they forget what the Lord did for them. And we see after they begin to forget, they quickly start going downhill and off track. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll start reading in verse number 11. He says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, and brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, with which thy fathers knew not, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the later end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get thee wealth, and that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto the fathers as it is to this day." You know, you think of, again, for lack of a better word, those awesome salvation stories. The children of Israel had an awesome salvation story. You think about what they were in Egypt and slaves and under bondage and living that horrible life. And they were brought out from it, led through the wilderness. And even when they decided they weren't going to take God up in His promise, they were too scared to go in. As they're wandering in the wilderness, they're faced with the fiery serpents. They're faced with famine and drought. But the Lord was always there. The Lord gave them water. The Lord gave them the food of angels for them to eat each and every day. When they got tired of angel food, what did they do? They cried out, and the Lord gave them quail. We see the Lord intervening every step of the way. But yet those first few verses we read, they were being warned not to forget. In my mind, how could you forget this? How could you forget manna falling from the sky every morning? How could you forget water coming out of a rock or being fed and being taken care of, your shoes never needing to be replaced? You know, those fiery serpents, how would you forget those fiery serpents? And how would you forget when they looked upon the brazen serpent? They were healed. But they're being encouraged, never forget these things. But he says, don't, in verse 11, when he says, not forget them, in verse 12, it says, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when the herds and silver and gold is multiplied, that's when they were in danger of forgetting. Things were going to get easier. Things were going to get more pleasant for them. No longer were they going to be hungry or thirsty. They were going to have plenty. No longer were they going to, you know, not have very much wealth. They were going to have silver and gold. They were going to have herds and flocks and cattle and everything they needed. And that's when they were in danger of forgetting who God is. When we see God providing for us each and every day, it's hard to forget because we're living in the moment. But in those times where we're doing well, we're at peace, we have everything we need or want, we tend to forget our salvation story, if you will. We tend to forget where God has brought us from. Somehow we just imagine we are just there. You know, we're born on third base, as the old saying says. We're just there. And that's what these kids these children of Israel are going to be part of. They didn't walk through the wilderness. They weren't slaves in Egypt, but they still needed to remember their heritage. We think about when they were crossing over Jordan, when Joshua was leading them over the part of Jordan, they were told to build a monument of 12 stones, which we'll get to maybe a little bit later. But they built these 12 stones and they put them there. And Joshua, you know, when your children ask you, what do these 12 stones mean? You need to tell them what the Lord did for us this day. How he let us walk around on dry ground through Jordan. It's important for us to remember where we're saved from. The Israelites were in danger of forgetting, and hence their warning. And I got to imagine, if they were in danger of forgetting all those miracles they saw, how much more in danger are we of forgetting today? You know, we're born in a country, at least for now, where we have no fear of real persecution. We have no fear of people barging in our church doors or really doing anything harm to us. We've been blessed. We don't got to be worried about people hunting us down, lighting us on fire, putting us in cages, whatever it may be. But these are the times where we forget. The second thing, and back over in 2 Peter chapter 1, we never should forget what God has blessed us with. Again, another hard thing I would imagine for us to forget. We all know we have been blessed with so many things. But I think oftentimes we do forget. We take for granted those things. In verse number 3 again of 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, according as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But notice in verse 3 again, he says, according to as his divine power hath given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. You think about all the things that the Lord has given us, and many of which are in this scripture here. He's given us all things compared to life and happiness and everything there. He's given us those virtues, the peace, the love, the kindness. And then he says that he'd given us, in verse 11, entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us a ticket, if you will, to paradise, to heaven. He has given us life everlasting, life eternal. He has given us everything we need on this earth. He has given us everything we could ever want in life everlasting. Never forget what the Lord has blessed you with. Again, you think about the Israelites as they're wandering through, and the Lord has blessed them so greatly, but yet they murmured, they complained every step of the way. Then the Lord would punish them, they would repent, turn back, the Lord would bless them, and everything was good for a while until those blessings were no longer good enough. And how quickly they forgot how it was in the land of Egypt. We tend to complain about so many things. I catch myself doing this often. We complain about things that we have or things that we don't have, usually more so. We complain about our lives. We complain about the wicked world we live in. We complain about our government. We complain about how evil people are. How quickly we forget what the Lord has blessed us with. No matter what those people do, what those people say, what we have or what we don't have, we're still far more blessed than all those Christians before us. We have so much more than they ever had. But they were happy. content because they had the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. And I know we use that illustration a lot, but it's true. If you just sit there and count your blessings, you'll never be able to stop. Just over and over again, the Lord has blessed us with. I ask you the question, what has the Lord blessed you with today? What has the Lord blessed you with in your life? Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Again, keep your fingers here. I can't think of any person in this room that can say they have not been blessed of God. We all have blessings. We all have much more than we deserve, I'm afraid. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start reading in verse number 3. Paul writes, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Again, we have him saying he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Verse 4 says, According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Paul is reminding the Ephesians here of all the things the Lord has blessed them with. You know, the things that we have in this life, the physical things, born into this country where we're free, given a nice building to worship in, a building with padded pews and air conditioning, running water, heat in the winter. There's a lot of churches in our world today that still don't have those luxuries. And yet we still complain. It's a little too hot on Sunday, a little too cold Sunday night, whatever it may be, and we never just take time to be thankful. But he reminds of all these spiritual blessings that he's given on top of that. That he has foreordained us before the foundation of the earth. Brother Gunnels was talking about the Rowlands house and how he said, you know, he told your pastor that God wrote his name in that house when it was built. You know, I truly believe that can be true. But you know, God wrote our names down in a book before we were even born. Before the foundation of this world for those that are saved. God has put a place in glory in heaven. Before this world was even in existence. What a blessing that is. To be able to go through this world, no matter how wicked it is, to know that I got a home in glory. We complain about our dwelling, it's too big, it's too small, or our cars aren't fancy enough, aren't fast enough, whatever it may be. We're going to be living in mansions, walking on streets of gold. We are a very blessed people. We should never forget what the Lord has blessed us with as individuals. Again, you look around this room, and I don't know everybody's situation, but I guarantee everybody who's blessed far beyond a lot of others in this world. We're blessed. We have everything we need. We're taken care of. And then even more so, you know, for those that are here today, you're blessed with the church. I've gone through, in my mind, I've gone through a lot of hard trials. Things that were tough, things that were hard, things you had to go through. But then I look around my own church and the Lord's churches, and people have gone through a whole lot worse than me. And they've all said the same thing. I don't know where I would have been without my church family. We're blessed. We're blessed with people that care, people that want to help. People to walk alongside us, to encourage us, to pick us up. God's people today are truly blessed. I think a lot of times we forget how blessed we are. We get so caught up in the world. We get so caught up in the everyday mundane things, and we get, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or we see what other people have. We forget to count our blessings and remember what the Lord has done for us. The third thing, never forget what the Lord has burdened you with. You know, look back in 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse number 13, we really see a glimpse inside of Peter's heart. Peter was a great man of God. Of course, he had a lot of faults. And I think a lot of times we preach on the faults of Peter. I did that, I don't know, probably my first couple of years I ever started to preach. It felt like I was preaching on Peter so often. And it was usually, you know, Peter's faults. You know, he took his eyes off Christ. He spoke when he shouldn't have spoken. He denied Christ and all these horrible things, right? But you look at the life of Peter. Peter was a great man of God. He did so much for furthering the gospel. He did so much for the early church. And we see him at this point, knowing his time on earth is coming to an end. In verse 13 again, he says, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," or this body, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." Peter here writing, pouring his heart out to God's people, makes mention that he knows his time is coming to a close, that his time on this earth is coming to an end. He was yet to put off this earthly body as the Lord had showed him. And notice what he wanted these people to learn. I think about people, not to be morbid, but when they're on their deathbeds or when they're reaching the end of their lives. It's always interesting to what they talk about. They usually talk about their past, their lives, the good times, the bad times, the things they grew up. They talk about the people in their life that had great impacts, and that's all good. I love to hear those things. But the one thing I love when they talk about the most is how much the Lord has blessed them throughout their life. We're dealing that with my family now. My uncle is getting close to that point in his life, battling cancer, but every time you talk to him, he's talking about the blessings of God. How the Lord has provided for him and his family over the years. How the Lord has just blessed him beyond imagine. And we see Peter, we see him opening his heart out. And with his last few moments, his last times that he has to write and be a part of these people's lives, it would seem. In verse 16 he says, verse 15 rather, sorry. He says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Peter, approaching death, wants them to remember these things. Remember the things of God. Remember the things that the Lord has brought them from, what the Lord has blessed them with. Peter had a great burden for God's people. And you read the life of Peter, he had a great burden for the lost as well. But it's evident here, he had a great burden for God's people. His last thoughts were focusing on encouraging God's people to remember their salvation, to grow closer to their walk with Christ. You know, we ask the question, what are we going to focus on when our life's near an end? You know, sometimes we don't have that ability to know that our life's coming close, but we all know that our life is fleeting. It's going to happen eventually. What are our thoughts going to be? Are they going to be on the physical things, the things we wish we would have done, the things we would have done differently? Are they going to be on the things that the Lord has done for us and that has blessed us with? I'll ask you a question. What were you passionate about when the Lord first saved you? If you think back, some may have been many years ago, but I think there's always something. The Lord had saved you and you were on fire, you were encouraged, you were happy, you were excited. I'm sure you could think of something you were excited about. Whether it be serving in the church and Sunday school classes and visitation programs, whether it be a burden for the youth, whether it be a burden for older people, whatever it may be, I'm sure we've all had a burden in our lives. Now fast forward to today, have we lost that passion? And we begin to lose that burden. And it's a common thing. I think everybody goes through it. We get complacent. We get worn out. We get tired. Even David in Psalm 51 cried out to the Lord, asking Him to restore the joy of thy salvation. Even David needed to be restored once in a while, as we all do. But what were we passionate about? What are you burdened about today? Are you still on fire for the Lord? Do you still have a burden for young people or the elder people? Or do you have a burden for the singing or the preaching or visitation efforts or Sunday school classes? Whatever it may be. And I understand we can't always do everything like we used to. And as people get older, that's usually the case. Sometimes it's hard to give up or realize we can't do the same things we did 10, 15, 20 years ago. But there's still many ways to serve the Lord. You know, one thing, and I mentioned this morning, surrendered to preach for, I think, 7 years now, a little over 7 years. Brother Gordon was one of the first pastors to allow me to preach in his pulpit. I appreciate that. So I've been coming here off and on for 7 years or so. 90% of the same faces are still here. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't lose that burden and passion. I'm thankful for those that have stayed for the truth. That don't lose their burden. I see that in our church as well. You know, people in our church have served, and a lot of them are getting older. And a lot of them had a burden for young people. And when they got older, they couldn't run around outside like they used to. They couldn't necessarily play the softball games or pull the all-nighters with the kids that they used to. But what impressed me was when they found other ways to still get involved in youth programs. They didn't have to run up and down the field to be involved in young people's lives. There were some that invited us over for dinner just to talk, just to have some time of fellowship. There were some that just came and hung out at church or just a part of our youth programs or youth fellowships. They couldn't run and jump and do those things, but they were there. They were present because they had a burden. The Lord has burdened us with things, and instead of forgetting them, instead of just putting them off because we can't do it anymore, the value is trying to find a new way to serve, finding new ways to do those things. You know, sadly, again, we forget so many things. And Peter here is encouraging us not to forget. But how do we ensure that we'll never forget? Again, our minds are weak. We forget things. We've got so many different diseases and things that enter our minds that harm them, that affect their ability to remember. And again, there's a few in our church that have gone through dementia and some hard things like that. But one of the things that always encouraged me, Brother Sinek was one of them. I know you guys know him well. When he came to our church, and he couldn't remember his name, but every time he walked in that church, he always made mention that the Lord had saved his soul. He still knew. He knew what his Savior was. And how do we ensure we'll never forget? We may forget our keys in the door. We may forget our phones and wallets at home. We may forget the names of our loved ones. But how do we ensure we never forget what the Lord has done for us? You know, just like today's day and age, we have tools to help us remember. God has given us everything we need to remember those things. We simply read His Word. You go back from Genesis to Revelation. It's full of reminders of what the Lord has brought us from. It's full of reminders of the people that we were. Even though we may have been saved at a young age, raised in church, never missing a service, never allowed to get into too much trouble, we read of what we were. Horrible, wretched, sinful souls that the Lord has saved us from. We look at what our lives could have been, should have been, if the Lord didn't intervene. Constant reminders in the Word of God. We see reminders of where he brought us from and what He's blessed us with. You open up any book of the Bible, you're going to find blessings in it. you're going to find blessing the Lord has given us to His people in the Bible times and His people today. Very simple reminders. Maybe you've lost your passion. You forgot what the Lord had burdened you with. You read the Scriptures, you're going to find it out all over again. You know, you read the Scriptures and it points out something, you just catch on fire. When it talks about the youth or the elderly people or whatever it may be, the singing or the preaching or the teaching. You know, working in the kitchen, whatever it may be. We read the Word of God, it's going to renew our burden, our passion. The only tool we need to remember what the Lord has done for us is the Word of God. One of my favorite accounts, and we'll close with this, but when the man of the Gadarenes was possessed with a legion of demons, no one could chain him, no one could contain him, no one could heal him, no one could cast those demons out. The Lord comes and does it, and this man says, you know, I want to go with you. He wants to hop on the ship with the Savior and go, and I don't blame him one bit. But the Lord said no. He says, you go home and tell your friends what the Lord has done for you this day. I tell people all the time, you know, we don't need to know how to quote a bunch of Scripture. We don't have to be very articulate in our words. We don't have to have a whole drawn-out speech to witness to somebody. Simply tell them what the Lord has done for you. The more you tell that story, the more likely it is that you're never going to forget it. Tell it over and over and over again. If you think your salvation story is boring like I did, it's not boring. The Lord had saved me from what a life could have been. I look back now with the kids that I grew up with. No more than a dozen of them have been in jail. Few of them have been killed. Few of them have gone down the roads of drugs, and it's sad. And the only thing that kept me from running around with them was my parents and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has kept us from so many things. I encourage us now not to forget those things. Never forget what the Lord has brought you from, what He's blessed you with, or what He has burdened you with. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we thank You again for this day and for this blessing that we have just to be here. We thank You for the opportunity we have to worship You and to serve You. We thank You for giving us Your Son to die on the cross. Lord, we pray that we never forget that cross. We never forget what You've done for us. Even though our service here is over, Lord, we pray that You just bless the song as we sing. And we pray that our voices are pleasing unto You, Lord. And we just pray, help us to always remember what You have done. And we always remember to share it with others. We just keep us safe. Keep Brother Matt and his boys safe as they travel home, Lord. We know they yearn to be here, and these people desire to have their pastor back. We just pray for safe travels there. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.